Today's news predicts a gloomy picture for this world. But is this what Jesus said about the future? Coming up on Cross Connection. Welcome to Cross Connection. We are so glad you have joined us today, and a great study is ahead of us.
That's right, and the theme of today's study is hope in the apocalypse. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus talks about the signs of the time, and those signs look pretty bleak. So to better explore that theme, we asked you this fourth guest question. How do you find hope in the midst of suffering? We look forward to hearing what you had to say.
And we are joined today by Sophia, Ryan, and Phil. And of course, I know that you're excited to be on Cross Connection, but how excited are you?
Very.
Very excited.
The most excited I've ever been.
Okay. And I'm sure that you also are glad to join us today because a great study is ahead of us.
Yeah.
And we are in the Gospel of Luke. We continue studying the Gospel of Luke. We were with Jesus walking all the way from Galilee, all the way to Jerusalem through Jericho, where he healed the blind man. And then there was a story of Zacchaeus. And now Jesus entered Jerusalem. He had these debates with religious leaders. And what we will see now is very unique because Jesus was in the temple. He was teaching in the temple. Mm-hmm. And there, today the study will be about the temple and also the future, apocalypse.
No.
Okay. Yeah. And before we open our Bibles, let us pray. And Sophia, could you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for bringing us all here today. Please fill the atmosphere with your spirit as we read your word. Help us to have an understanding. We pray with the viewers who are at home. Help them to also get a great understanding. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's get into the word. We are with Jesus at the, in the temple because this is exactly where we were before, which is in chapter 20. So right after Jesus finished his message, then we also highlighted something, but we will highlight it later. Then Jesus predicts this destruction of the temple. Because let's start with chapter 21, verses 5 and 6. Let's read verses 5 and 6 together. And Sergio, could you read verses 5 and 6?
Sure. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down."
Okay, so this is the beginning. So we're in the temple, in the temple. As you can see, there is a temple behind me. And I would like us also to take a look at another temple that we can see. It's a beautiful, beautiful structure. Mm. And obviously it was one of the, probably even one of the miraculous constructions in the entire world.
Mm-hmm. The wonders. One of the
wonders, yeah. One of the wonders. But Jesus spoke specifically about this temple that not one stone will be left on another. Mm. So imagine, think about you hearing something dramatic about the most important building in your country now. And just some prophet saying something about that most wonderful building. What would be your reaction, and how should we react?
I'd be appalled. I know that a few years ago, Haiti was hit with an earthquake, and I saw those pictures of their central government that was just, the building was rocked. Mm-hmm. And that isn't even my country. And I just remember thinking, like, how can something really, like, affect the government so strongly? Mm. And especially for, you know, them back in this time, this was not just the temple, this was God's place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what could possibly come between, you know, what could possibly destroy that?
Mm-hmm. I think it's hard for us to really have a proper context, like you alluded to, Phil, of the significance of that place. I don't know that there's a direct corollary in our world, because not only was it this incredible, magnificent structure, unlike anything certainly anywhere near that area, but also it was supposed to be the physical house of God. Not even the house of God how we think of church or something like that. God's actual presence was supposed to be in that place, and to have it, to say that it's just going to be destroyed as its beauty is being pointed out, I can't even imagine the kind of shock of hearing that.
And what is especially interesting, because when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, he triumphantly entered into Jerusalem, then the first thing that he does, he went into the temple and cleansed the temple. Mm. Mm. Yeah. So what we see is just when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, here's this God who comes to dwell in this place. into this most holy place for all people. But at the same time, he's in the temple. Mm-hmm. He teaches at the temple. He's in the temple. But he's also rejected in the temple. Mm. So he's walking from that, walking out from this temple, and then he pronounces these sayings. Look, somebody says, "Oh, look at how beautiful this building is," but Jesus says, "No, not even one stone will be left on another." Mm. So this is exactly what we see in this picture. But let's move forward and let's continue with the destruction of the temple. And Sergio, could you present to us this quick text for 19 verses?
Yeah, it's a lot. We have two big quick texts. I don't know how quick this quick text is, but I'll get through it. So it starts like this. Some of his disciples point out the beauty of the temple, but Jesus tells them it will be thrown down, like we just read. The disciples ask when this will happen and what the signs will be to signal its coming. And Jesus provides some signs. Many will come claiming, "I am he," or "the time is near." Do not follow them. There'll be wars and uprisings, but do not be frightened. Nation will rise against nation, earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before this, they will seize you and persecute you, Jesus says. Then Jesus assures that when this happens, he will provide words and wisdom, and some will be hated and put to death, but stand firm and you will win life.
Okay, so when we look at this chapter, most of the time throughout church history, we were interpreting these verses as only pointing to the end times. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we talk about this is what the end, this is how the end time will be, mm-hmm. especially we quote in Matthew chapter 24.
Yes.
But when you read this carefully, you will see that it starts with the temple. Mm-hmm. And then it progressively evolves into something greater. Right. But it's the starting point is destruction of this beautiful edifice where the presence of God was supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why do you think it is so important to understand that Jesus is basically saying that? And why is it important for them to understand it? What is the significance of this for us? Why would somebody even record this?
Right.
Like in why do we need to read it anyway? It's just about the temple that was destroyed 2,000 years ago.
I think the answer comes when you read it with the, because as you pointed out, especially in Luke, it is so clearly, Jesus is giving this in response to the question, mm-hmm. what will the signs be that the temple being destroyed? But when you see these things and how it reads so much like today, that maybe the meaning starts to come out and you start mm-hmm. to see maybe what's being alluded to, because these are not specific things that only happen in one period of time and then never again, mm-hmm. never before or since. This is just the condition of the world. This is wars, nation rising against nation. There's earthquakes, there's pestilences, mm-hmm. there's natural disasters. Mm-hmm. These are things that happen all the time. Phil, you alluded to the hurricane in Haiti is mm-hmm. unfortunately mm-hmm. just one of many disasters that we see in the world today. So Jesus is describing what it's like to live in the world.
Yeah,
and we get a framework for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's positive because we have all these things that are happening and it says right here, you know, these things are going to happen, but don't worry. I mean, like, mm-hmm. that's not the end. Like mm-hmm. this, it just kind of puts it into perspective that this is not the end of the world. Like, this is right here. Mm. It's going to happen, but I'm still with you.
But I think there's always a sense that it's not going to happen to you. Mm. Mm. So when Jesus is starting with the temple, it's like this is happening in your backyard mm-hmm. and then the rest of the world, because you hear all this stuff and people like now mm-hmm. like you hear all these things and you see all these things like, wow, that's awful, but it doesn't happen in your backyard sometimes and then you feel a little bit more comfortable. This is kind of getting you out of that comfort zone because Jesus really wanted to get their attention.
No, this is very point. Good because it's a very important point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what Jesus does, he says, no, you may think, okay, of war somewhere else. When you turn on the news, of course you see and you feel, you get the sense. Mm-hmm. No, but it actually happens, something that happens now. Mm. That's exactly why Jesus said that not even this generation will pass away. Mm-hmm. But before this, all these things will happen. Mm-hmm. So if we move forward, so I would like us to go through each one of them. So first is destruction of the temple. We see that it's very important because it was important for them, but it is something that happens today as well. Mm-hmm. Not destruction of the temple, but all these signs. Mm-hmm. Right. And it happens in our midst. Okay, let's move forward. So second one is false messiahs. And we read about it in verse 8. For many will come in my name, saying, "I am he." Mm-hmm. But and then the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. So so why is it so important for us to understand that the Messiah, false messiahs were there? They were. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's also the reality today.
Yes, there are very false messiahs today. And now it's kind of very discreet. So we have, you know, superstars or people in pop culture mm-hmm. who proclaim themselves as Jehovah or God, and you have many fans who worship them. And then you also have another element where you have people searching for answers, but instead of going to God, they're going to false prophets such as psychics or mm-hmm. people who, you know, read horoscopes. They're looking for answers, but they're looking for answers in the wrong places. So all of this is not new. There's nothing new under the sun. It took place during Jesus' day, and it's happening here right now, and it's very real.
Well, I think it was important because Jesus was about to leave the disciples. I mean, his ministry on earth was about to end, and he knew it was ending. And I feel like this is one thing where Jesus, you know, he knew he needed to teach his disciples that they're going to be people that are going to pretend to have all the answers. They're going to pretend to be, you know, in my name working and all that stuff. And you need to be careful because there's going to be stuff out there and you need to know mm-hmm. what you're following is the actual truth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we see that all these signs, according to them, it was the end of the world. The destruction of the temple is the end of the world, but it also pointed to the end of the world. Mm. And we see that it was happening then, but it is also very acute and prominent nowadays as well.
And I think that to take it one step further, there's a lot of people that aren't going to fall for a false Messiah, mm-hmm. but they will fall for some new awesome doctrine. Oh, my pastor just started studying, and I'm seeing this new doctrine. You think of all the things that have come from Jesus' time to now mm-hmm. that distort the image of God, the true image of God, and it's Satan's way of getting the church-going people to not be prepared. He's causing a divide between us and God, and we don't even know it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've got that with, you know, the prosperity gospel, which is all about, I'll give to God so that I can get in return. Mm-hmm. And it really puts the focus on the individual and kind of the temporal here and now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think another example that we could look at is the more literal one, which if we look at the fabric of history, there have been many people, you know, that came throughout. Jesus's prophecy was a very accurate one here in this case. Mm-hmm. When you look at church history throughout European history, there were people that came up and said, no, I am the true way. People would follow them to their deaths. You look at the history in this country all the way till semi-recently, there have been other cases, but what happened in Waco, Texas with David Koresh, mm-hmm. you know, and saying he convinced all these people to follow him and said the end is near. And we've seen this happen throughout history, even in Jesus' name.
Sometimes even religious leaders, they claim to be the pontiffs or in terms of even messiahs, appointed ones.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In other words, messiahs. So we see that it is very prominent. When we go to the next one, we see that Jesus talks about wars and revolutions as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think that this is only something that happens nowadays or throughout generations? And why is it so important to see and be and know and recognize that it is happening?
Well, because he said that this is going to happen right before I come. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, in other Gospels it talks about birth pangs and that mm-hmm. it'll be heightened. There'll mm-hmm. be more of them. They'll be more severe. Mm-hmm. So I think back, of course, there's always been wars and rumors of wars. Mm-hmm. But I think even now we look in our world today and it's every day it's almost a new country that you're seeing mm-hmm. this going on in.
But it also tells us something about human nature, humankind, the way how we treat each other. Look what happens. It's just Jesus came to bring peace and glory to this world. Because we just read about it when he was entering. Peace be to... Blessed is this king who comes in the name of the Lord because he brings peace. Mm. But look, apparently that peace didn't really work the way he wanted it to work.
And absolutely right. I mean, I picture there's this Christ who's trying to teach the disciples and start the church. And then you've got humanity, which is just going crazy. Mm-hmm. And as much work as the church can do, we're not going to be able to stop what humanity is and sin has started throughout the world, which is just going to get more and more and more prevalent. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. We will continue our discussion right after the break, so don't go anywhere.
That's right. And if you've ever gone through hard times because of your belief, Jesus has a special promise for you. We'll explore that and more after the break.
Welcome back to Cross Connection. We are talking about Luke chapter 21, and we see how Jesus first predicted the destruction of the temple, and then he moved on and he said that, he continued with saying that there will be false messiahs. And we saw that throughout church history, we see a lot of false messiahs happening. And today as well, we see that it's a reality. It's a reality of present day. And then we move to the next one, which is wars and revolutions. And let's read verse 9 together. And Sophia, could you read chapter 21, verse 9, Luke 21, verse 9 for us?
But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately.
So as you can see, even here, Jesus says, you will hear about these wars and you will hear about these revolutions. But this is not, they will have to come first. But this is not the end yet. Because this is what? This is the reality of humankind. We just, we don't know what peace is. We'd rather fight. So when we move forward, let's see what is the next sign. Sign number four, cosmic signs and dramatic disasters. What can we say about that?
Well, I think Phil touched on it before we even got to this verse. Yeah. I mean, verse Haiti is just one
11,
example. Yeah, Haiti is just one example. There will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. I think we see that going on in our world on a greater scale than we've ever have.
You know, and I was thinking of this because I think, you know, this can be such a downer because there are all these things where Jesus is saying all these things are going to happen. And I almost see it as kind of like there's a lot of trials, there are a lot of struggles that are coming up, and I want you to be prepared. I want you to know so that you are kind of mentally ready almost. Just because, kind of like when you go out and you're going to be playing against a tough team, you want to know their strengths so that you know to prepare for them. And I almost see this as Jesus saying, like, this is something you need to be prepared for because this is going to happen.
Yeah, and this is just, it's so interesting because when we look at this chapter, we see how everything, after Jesus was rejected in the temple, and then we see that he's rejected after even the scribe reject him, and Pharisees, of course, and Sadducees, everybody rejects him. But then we see how Jesus predicts this future. It feels like the entire world is crying. It's like everything that happened after Jesus, after the world rejected Jesus, it's the world is just breathing its last.
It's very poetic.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you see how the wars, because it's just, this is what is happening. It's just great controversy. The great controversy between people and great controversy on a larger scale. Because it's like, it feels like the one who opposes Jesus, it feels like after his resurrection, it will start and it will just continue till the point, till the time when he comes back. So that's why we see all this. Look at the signs. It's just the world is crying because it wants this redemption.
It's almost like a wounded animal, because when you have a wounded animal, they're even that much more dangerous. And so it's kind of like the world is wounded, or like, you know, Satan has been wounded. So it's just going to be that much more dramatic, that much more worse.
But if you move, it's just like it feels like it's so gloomy that it's just like people are just, okay, now it's some time to cry. But there is also the message of hope. If we move forward, okay, then it gets even worse, to be honest, because it says let's just read verse 12. And Ryan, could you read verse 12 for us?
Yes. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake.
So if you read these lines, it's just like it gets even worse. What is what is going on? So Jesus is addressing whom? Who is he addressing?
The believers, Christians.
Yeah, exactly. So how can it bring us any hope?
Well, I think back actually, just as you were saying that, I had a high school teacher that the day before a test, he would actually get the test out and read over every question and give the answer. I don't know why he did it, but I can tell you I had great hope the next day going into that test. I was calm. You know, I couldn't remember everything, but I was calm because I knew what to expect. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to do. It's not going to be easy, but by giving us the heads up, we can kind of go in with a calmness and assurance that we already know what's going to happen. So when it happens, we don't have to be scared. We can be like, okay, it's almost time to go to heaven.
So Jesus is giving us a test prep.
Yeah,
basically.
He's given us all the answers.
Well, you know, and I would think, you know, if I were in this position, and I'm thankful and I'm blessed to not be persecuted at the moment, but, you know, if I were in this position, I would start to wonder if I was really following the true thing. And I feel like it's almost like, yeah, like I'm telling you that this is going to happen. This is the real thing. You're going to need to go through it. And I'm sorry, it's horrible, but this is going to happen. And I almost see that as kind of giving a little bit more proof to the fact that that Jesus was correct and was the person to follow.
Mm-hmm. You see, sometimes we read these lines somewhat detached from Jesus because we think it's all about us. Mm. Oh, it's all about, because this is what happened to this earth, this is what will happen to us, this is what will happen to... But if you read this, try to read these lines, bearing in mind that it's all of it is after Jesus' resurrection. Mm-hmm. So Jesus accomplished a great task.
Yeah.
He wounded somebody who is against Jesus who was against Jesus for a long time. Some people call him Satan, some people call him devil or whatever. Mm. But that evil was wounded. Mm-hmm. And then what happens next is just that evil is trying to, now it cannot hurt Jesus because Jesus is not there. But it wants to hurt anything or anybody who is loyal to Jesus. And this is what we see throughout the earth, because the earth wants to be restored.
Yeah.
Because people want to be restored.
And I think it's that restoration that's key, because I think that in verse 13, you mentioned people being brought before, you know, rulers and, you know, for persecution. But then verse 13 says, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity for you to speak of the kingdom of God. And I think really that's what all of this is. I think we would be wrong to just look at the suffering that is happening around us and say, well, Jesus is coming soon. We can take encouragement in that. But mm-hmm. Jesus is saying more. He's saying, do something about it. You know, yes, there's great suffering going on all around the world, but do something to alleviate that suffering. For me, that really helps me put a grasp on how we can find hope in the apocalypse, and we can even help to be that hope mm-hmm. for people mm-hmm. in the midst of their suffering.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you look at, why do you think people are Christians, as we talked about, believers, are persecuted then? Because people are persecuted today as well. Mm-hmm. Christians are persecuted today as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's other religions persecute Christians, or sometimes it's just political powers persecute Christians. So why is it happening? Christians do anything bad? Or?
I think it's a sign of the time. I think of the Charleston 9 and what happened recently to them. And it makes me think about this Bible verse that says it's an occasion for testimony. Mm-hmm. One of the things that really blew me away about that situation is that the families of those slain in that church offered up forgiveness for the shooter, and they were praying for his salvation. And for me, I thought that was very humbling as a Christian, because I don't know if I was in their shoes, I could have the strength to do the same thing. But you don't know who is being, you know, watching and seeing this, like that they can find forgiveness for a person who killed a family member, that this is a testimony of Jesus' love that is in the believers. And so I think that when people, Christians, are persecuted, it's not because of anything that they're doing wrong, but what they're doing right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so the devil is angry at that. And so he wants to attack those who are, you know, really grounded in Christ. But God can still use those negative experiences for the good.
Yeah, it's just when you're a true follower of Jesus, you inevitably will shine the true light. Mm. And when you shine the light, you inevitably expose darkness. Mm-hmm. And when the darkness is exposed, it wants to kill that light again because it wants to remain that darkness.
And I think you hit on it, because you're right. I mean, this evil can't do anything to Jesus right now, but it can do something to the followers. Mm. And it can try and go after the followers. I think that's why.
Mm-hmm. And I think with the right mentality, then it can't, you have the mentality that ultimately it can't even do anything to you, you know, because in the context here where we are in Luke, the previous study on the last episode of Cross Connection, it ended with a discussion on the resurrection and how we're all alive and we are all sons and daughters of the resurrection. And here Jesus says in verse 18,
let's
talking
read,
about all this, no, this terrible stuff.
16, 17 and 18.
Yeah, so I'll start with 16. Yes. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. You know, we are children of the resurrection.
Yeah.
We've just discussed just right before this in Luke. A few chapters away, Jesus is about to be resurrected, much to the joy of everyone who discovers it, that we are children of the resurrection. And so even, you know, just as Jesus, the enemy couldn't destroy Jesus, even us, we can move forward and follow the kingdom and really not even be worried that any a hair on our head will even be lost, because mm-hmm. we will be resurrected.
And when you read those verses, I think about what's going on right now in the Middle East, mm-hmm. and ISIS is beheading Christians. Mm-hmm. Families are turning their family members in that are Christians, and they're being beheaded. And they're asking them, if you renounce Christ and Christianity, we'll spare you, otherwise you're dead. And they're not doing it. Mm. And for me, the verse before those verses we just read, if we can read verse 15,
sure,
this is what gives me the most hope. Verse 15 says, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist." Mm. We don't have to go in with some rehearsed speech. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit's going to come and give us what we need and give us that strength so that we don't have to fear in those moments. Because I think a lot of us think, how could we ever deal with something that extreme?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not us who's going to deal with it. Christ promised that he's going to come and send the Holy Spirit to be with us.
To go over the specific example that you mentioned, certainly applies to that. There's so many people in this world that rule through fear, that they are able to control people and have power over people through the power of fear. And if, as a Christian, you have a different mindset, one where you don't have any fear, one where you feel that God is with you, one where you feel that you will be resurrected, you are a threat to people like that. And they have no control over you. Mm-hmm. And that can be an instance where we see that hate colliding with this lack of fear. It's, you know, we see that unfortunately all around, but we know that we're all children of the resurrection.
Yeah, absolutely. And it may not be easy to talk about these passages, especially living in a country where you don't necessarily face all of these calamities. Because, like, the war is it's a reality, but it's a distant reality. Mm-hmm. If you think about famine, it's also a reality, but not in this country, because people suffer from obesity here also. Mm. Just like if you think about it, some people do not have bread on their table, mm-hmm. but some people also. Abyss. So if you think about all these elements, Jesus is not talking to one specific country. He's talking about the world. So, but in general, we see how the world is suffering. And this great hope is still very, very present. Because if you think about persecutions, we may not think about persecutions in this country, but it's very present reality for us as well, too. Mm-hmm. Because our persecutions, we put our own persecutions on ourselves. Mm. All these persecutions relating to monetary existence or commercialism or many other elements. This is all also something that takes us away from the true purpose.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say that, because I recently heard a sermon and this pastor said something that blew me away. He said, Christ told us to pick up our cross and follow him. Mm. And we tend to make that seem like it's too much. We can't do it. Mm-hmm. But the cross that we bear when we try to steep ourselves in this world is way heavier than the cross of Christ. Trying to keep up financially and with all the things we want to do in this life, it's so much more difficult than just taking up the cross of Christ and just doing what he wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why Luke specifically writes all these lines, and he's preparing the way for the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, we will see how people will be going to death if needed. Because they knew, like Stephen, the first martyr, he knew what the Holy Spirit was talking through him. Mm-hmm. But he was willing to die for the sake of Jesus Christ because he truly understands what it's all about. Mm-hmm. We will continue our discussion right after the break, so don't go anywhere.
That's right. There's still a lot more hope to be found in this apocalypse. Stick with us.
Welcome back. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself. So we continue our discussion of a little gloomy chapter of Luke's Gospel. It is true, because Jesus predicts this apocalypse. Mm-hmm. But he starts with the destruction of the temple, because this is what the response was. Look at this building. But Jesus says, no, not, like it will be destroyed. And then he continues, he says that the false messiahs will rise, wars, and then famines, and then also it will be like signs, and just like dramatic signs in the sky, and also earthquakes. And it all ends even in persecution. That even persecution will happen to you. Mm. You will be persecuted. But even then, do not worry, because not even one hair from your head will be lost. Mm. So look at this hope. Jesus is giving a heads up about what is going to happen.
Yeah, all the answers.
All the answers. But at the same time, he says, no, do not worry, because I will be with you. Yeah. Even when you will be given responses, because your responses will be so smart. That's what he said
in
verse 15, yes? So let's read verse 15 again, because it's so encouraging.
I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist.
And this is very interesting, because we read in previous chapter, whenever anybody could not resist Jesus, or resist, or
right.
So what would be the reaction of those people? Hate and anger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People will become even more angry, because they cannot answer anything to you, because your response is just, it's breathed by the Holy Spirit into you. So this is what we see, this progression. And then Jesus talks about the destruction of the temple again. So Sergio, could you give us a quick text for Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 33?
Yes, this would be the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple.
Yeah.
And this is a quote. Jesus says, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Everyone in the city and surrounding areas should flee, as this is the fulfillment of Scripture. There will be great distress and violence, and the Gentiles shall overtake the city. There will be signs in the heavens and the earth, and people will be in anguish and confusion. When this happens, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Just as you know summer is near when the fig tree sprouts, so will it be with these signs and the kingdom." Jesus tells them that this generation will not pass until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
Amen.
Yeah. So there is a very interesting element in this destruction of Jerusalem and destruction of the temple that we see. First of all, Jesus says these words about 40 years before it actually happened. Mm-hmm. So, because the destruction of the temple happened in 70 AD, and Jesus was crucified about 30 AD. So, if you think about 40 years, so when Jesus makes this prediction, it's 40 years. It's at least one generation from this situation. But there is something interesting in verse 21. So what does it say in verse 21? So he says that the destruction will happen and everything will be happening there. What does it say? What does verse 21 say?
"Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her."
So enter her. Enter her what? Jerusalem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So basically, why do you think Jesus is so look how he is caring. Even talking about the future, he says, make sure.
Yeah.
I want you to be spared. So what does it tell us about Jesus and about...
Well, I love that. And throughout the verses that we've been talking about, you can look at this as very sad and depressing, but you can also see the little highlights of Jesus caring for his followers. Mm. And to me, that's just one more example of, you know, these are bad things, but I'm doing everything that I can to help you out. And I mean, there it's very clear, like, these are the signs, this is what's going to happen. So if you see these things, like, do what you can, protect yourselves, your families, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's just all about a God and a Jesus that cares for the people.
Mm-hmm. And when you fast forward, the historical record shows that not one Christian died in the sack of Jerusalem.
Mm.
They all followed Jesus' advice and were gone.
So, yeah, when you follow Jesus' advice, then you're spared.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes we do follow our advice or just our thinking.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But then there's even more hope. If we read the following passage, which is Sergio just told us, the Son of Man, this is what it says in verse 28. We can start with verse 27 and then read verse 28. And Sophia, could you read verses 27 and 28?
Mm-hmm. "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud and power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near."
So look what happens here. Jesus says, and the second coming will happen. After the destruction, there will be another period. And sorrow does not disappear from this world.
Yeah.
Even the death of Jesus. Because I would hope, like when I read the Gospel of Luke, I would want that after the death of Jesus, everything would be changed. But it didn't change. It changed a lot, but it didn't eradicate evil, because evil is still breathing its last.
Mm.
But even then, Jesus says, I brought you this amazing hope, amazing life. Mm-hmm. Now, because I died, the redemption is near. Because I died, I will come back and I will take you home. That is exactly why the book of Acts... Mm-hmm. If you read the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11, let's just read. It's very easy to remember.
Okay.
Chapter 1, verse 11. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11. Luke, by the way, wrote the book of Acts also. So it's his second volume. So Ryan, could you read it for us?
Yeah, Acts 1:11. "Who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.
So this is what it is. It's just the readers of Luke's gospel, as well as we, need to remember that Jesus is coming again. Mm. Jesus is coming again. And this is where redemption for all of us is really present. Isn't this a message of hope?
Absolutely, yeah.
I think, you know, when you think of, we look through some of this gloomy stuff, you know, and...
And we became gloomy.
Yeah, no, but it would be foolish to think, you know, if Jesus were to say, here, if you do X, Y, and Z, you'll never have any suffering. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad will ever happen to you. That we would know instantly, upon the first bad thing that happened to the first Christian, that this was a false Messiah, mm-hmm. that what he said was not true. Mm-hmm. But what he says is really grounded in such reality of the nature of the world. And I think of how it was summed up in John's gospel a few gospels ago when we studied that. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But fear not, I have overcome the world. And I think that's just it's a very grounded message that, you know, look, you're going to have suffering in this world. You're going to have trouble, but I've overcome that. And the knowledge of that will see you through anything.
Well, I see this also as Jesus pointing the readers and his followers and everything directly to him and to the more important issues that aren't just kind of temporal, aren't just on this earth. Mm. And I even see it at the beginning of the chapter when he... You know, and we didn't go over it, but there's the woman giving her small sacrifice.
Yes.
And, you know, all these people are giving lots of money or whatever gifts they're giving. She just gives a little bit. And Jesus says, you know, this woman gave her all. It's very minimal, but that she gave her all. And she gave the greatest gift. She gave the most. Mm. And I think it's interesting because right after that, they're saying, look, up in the temple, like, look at all these gifts that were given in the temple. And it's almost like they miss that.
Yeah.
And then he starts getting into what's more important. And, you know, the temple, it's just going to be temporary. He gets into the earth is temporary, but he gets into more lasting things. Mm-hmm. And I almost see that as God just saying, you know, there are all these things that you're going to see. Mm. It's going to be very difficult. It's, you know, it's bad, but... Keep your eye on what's really important.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is so important, Phil. And that is exactly why we read these lines. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up.
Yeah.
And lift up your heads. Because all of these are just distractions.
Mm. Yeah.
Whatever you hear, whatever you see is just distractions. Look up.
Well, you know, and I'll even, you know, to go on top of what you were saying, Phil, I know it's a verse we'll get to later, but I'm going to read it now.
Yeah.
Verse 33. Which was in the quick text. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Mm-hmm. It just speaks to me as, for those of us that aren't going through a lot of the troubles that our fellow Christians are going through, for those of us that have it much easier than other people do, I think of the teachings of Jesus, his words that will not pass away. Should I just look at all of these things that are happening as distractions, as something that point to Jesus will come again, or should I do something about it? Mm-hmm. Should I help to be an agent of Jesus, who is this person who is so compassionate and caring about people who are about to suffer? I go back to Jesus' words. What can I do? What ought I to do to help alleviate the suffering of people in the world that are experiencing some of these things that I may be fortunate enough to not be experiencing?
Yeah, and that is exactly why, especially in the Gospel of Luke, especially in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, so in all three Gospels, as well as in the Gospel of John, of course, so we see something very amazing. The kingdom of God is presented as a twofold reality. Mm. First, the kingdom of God is already present. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus, in Luke chapter 17, he said, the kingdom of God is among you, or in your midst, or is within you. Mm-hmm. So this is one. And then there's also the kingdom of God that will happen in the future. So what Jesus is encouraging everybody to start living in the kingdom of God here and now, but then also anticipate the second coming of Jesus when we will be reunited with our King. Mm. So if we live somewhere where the King is not present, we don't see King face to face, it doesn't mean that we do not live in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Mm. It means that the King is not with us. But when he comes back, then the King is with us. And then we just continue living with this King, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven.
And if we're not living for Christ now, we're not going to be able to just start when he comes back.
No.
It's too late at that point.
Yeah.
Because it will be a burden for you.
Like, yeah.
Just start experiencing life of the kingdom now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent, excellent. So if we move forward, let's take a look at this little hidden treasure that we prepared, by the way. So,
oh, okay.
So this hidden treasure will actually explain what the meaning of the prophecies in the light of not worrying. People are preoccupied with their desire to know the future. Christians, in their turn, feel that they have advantage since some chapters of the Bible seemingly predict the future. And that's the subject of today's hidden treasure. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 are often interpreted as chapters describing the last day's events. In these chapters, Jesus talks about false messiahs, wars and revolutions, cosmic signs, dramatic disasters, and persecutions. For centuries, people tried to fit all these signs into their context and set the date of Jesus' second coming in their day and their age. But Jesus himself did not give us any date. Moreover, he warned us about it. Jesus only encouraged us to be ready all the time. In Luke 21:34, we read, "Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with cares of this life, and the day come upon you suddenly like a trap." You see, Jesus does not want us to set the times of his coming. In fact, the signs that he pointed to can be observed today, and they could have been observed for the past 2,000 years. But instead of preoccupying ourselves with cares of counting days that point to Jesus' coming, he wants us to watch ourselves and be joyfully ready to meet him whenever he comes. So today, let the words of Jesus sound just as powerful as 2,000 years ago. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And that's today's hidden treasure. So we see how even though these prophecies may be gloomy, but at the same time, there is this great hope. Mm. And we see that this is a reality for us today.
Yeah.
We go through all these tribulations. We see it everywhere. But at the same time, there is this great hope. And Ryan, I know that you wanted to mention something that is very important.
Yes, verse 25, I'll just read it and then point it out. "And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." That word perplexity, the original word in Greek is aporio, and that means to be in a quandary due to a lack of resources. And I just see what's going on with Greece and China, and we're almost $20 trillion in debt here in America. We're in a real quandary due to a lack of resources, and that's just another sign that it's so close to Christ's coming.
Yeah, and we see it all through all these signs. You can see all these signs, like, they're reality today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I love the positive part of it, where we can focus on all these things. We cannot focus on the bad. You know, there's a phrase that I hear, which is, you know, it's not the end of the world, meaning it's not so bad. But I even think, you know, even if it's the end of the world, it's not the end of the world.
Right, right.
Like, there's even hope beyond the end of the world.
Right, right.
And this is exactly what Christians are called to do, like, called to remember. Mm. We are called to remember that this is not the end of the world, even if it is the end of the world. Mm. It's not the end of the world for Absolutely. All those who want to meet with the one who was taken up, because he will come in the same manner that he was taken up, our King and Lord, Jesus Christ. Yeah. So let this hope be always within you. We don't go anywhere. We are staying with you. So don't go anywhere as well, please. Because after this break, we will continue our discussion.
That's right. And when we do, we'll take some powerful comments from you in response to our fourth guest question. How do you find hope in the midst of suffering? We'll see you soon.
Welcome back. We are discussing the Gospel of Luke, and we are in chapter 20. Thank you very much. One. Thank you.
You pass.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So we are in chapter 21, and we see how the picture that Jesus presents is gloomy. Mm. But at the same time, there are like those huge beams of hope.
Yeah.
We see that Jesus says, "And not even one hair will be lost from your head." And then he continues, "But you can look up and you will see me coming again for you."
Yeah.
And then it continues, "But you even like go leave Jerusalem when the armies will surround it so that you can be spared." So you see it throughout.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that Christians will live in prosperity and will not face any persecutions. But even if you face persecution, feel what?
You're going to be okay.
Yeah,
it's
because even if you die, even if you die, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
It's not the end of the world, because Jesus, just in previous chapter, he talked about resurrection.
Right. Well, and this resurrection language is everywhere. I'm going to take a comment from Doug that talks about it, and I think you mentioned Acts. These disciples were able to move so boldly because they witnessed the resurrection. So yeah. When he says, I'm coming back, they believe him. They've seen him come back from the dead. And Doug mentions what happened even on the cross and how you're able to find hope there. Jesus told the thief on the cross, and we'll read it in Luke soon, that he would be with him in paradise. This gave the thief hope in the midst of suffering that we can't even imagine. If he could do it, so can we. So even, we'll read this in Luke's gospel, even in the midst of someone dying, breathing their last words, they find hope when they encounter Jesus. So we can know that no matter what we're going through, hopefully we can have a similar experience.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't just dying. That was that was about the worst.
Mm. Yeah. So let us, the conclusion of chapter 21 is basically just the highlight of our study also. So let's read verses 34 through 36. And Phil, could you read verses 34 through 36?
But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Mm.
Mm. So what hope, but at the same time, what warning do we see in these verses?
This is a warning to me. I'm sorry.
You can go ahead.
This is a warning to me that, you know, you really do need to keep your focus on the right thing. And I know, you know, there have been things, there are certain things that I've done, there are others that I haven't. And the one that speaks out to me is just the cares of this world, because I find myself so weighed down by finances, by responsibilities, by things like that. And I kind of forget sometimes that it's all just temporary. Mm. It's all not the most important thing. I need to focus more on God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and look at the way that this world, you mentioned cares of this world, look at how this world has been described up until now. As you mentioned, extremely gloomy, extremely depressing. There's famine, there's earthquake, there's people fighting each other and killing each other, there's persecution. There's all kinds of horrible things happening in this world. And you want to make a name for yourself in this world? You want to rule over a small corner of this world? You want to be concerned with your place in this world? Forget this world. Worry about the kingdom. You know, that really helps to provide a sense of like, wait a minute, yeah, this world is terrible. You know, yeah. There is a lot of bad stuff going on. Maybe I shouldn't be so concerned with what's going on and my place in this world. Maybe I can be concerned about something better and, you know, this new cornerstone, the kingdom of heaven.
And that's why Jesus is warning us. He says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
Yeah.
And this is the highlight. Because if you love that Son of Man, I am looking forward to that day.
Mm,
even though we need to face all these tribulations, all those tribulations.
I was reading it in another version of the Bible, and instead of cares of the world, it said anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the times we're distracted with so many different things, where we work, how we'll pay this bill, how we'll take care of this debt, where we'll send our kids to school. And it can really weigh us down, and it can cause this feeling of despair. But God is saying to take heed lest our hearts be weighed down with the cares of the world, that we have to always be thinking of that future world, the future kingdom of God that is even bigger than the world that we see every day through the natural. And another thing that I saw when I was looking up the different versions of this text, carousing could be everyday things such as, you know, shopping, you know, maybe the amount of time we spend on our social media, not to get distracted in these things, but to always focus on God. And that was very important for me to read because I needed to read that.
Well, I found something that I thought was just fascinating, and it was a different version that mentioned basically it coming on you like a trap. And it reminded me of kind of an animal. When you're trying to trap an animal, you bait it. You put something there that the animal wants, that thinks that it's good for it.
Yeah.
And before you know it, or before the animal knows it, it's stuck, and it's not going anywhere.
No. Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of reminded me, like, all these things that we think are good for us, we think that that's what we want, and in the end, that's going to trap us in there and keep us from, you know, basically be the end of life or whatever, like an animal.
Yeah.
It's amazing, though, that Jesus compares that with drunkenness.
Yes. Mm. So it's the same level.
One would drink to forget about stuff, and here he's saying that or being overly concerned.
Yes, absolutely. Excellent. I think that's an excellent point. Yeah. It's not just alcohol consumption. No. How do you deal with the problems of this world? Mm-hmm. Do you get overly concerned, overly anxious, or do you just detach and find some way to self-medicate and remove yourself from everything? But Jesus offers something better. I mean, what is the gospel if not something that this world cannot offer, mm-hmm. something better than what this world can offer? And that's what Jesus is saying. He's pointing out a very gloomy, doomy picture of this world, but he has something better for us.
And it's amazing because we sometimes see how people predict the time when Jesus would come. Mm-hmm. And we saw it just even a few years ago, like people were just saying that, preaching from television when Jesus would come. Mm. But at the same time, the most important part is to know that it will happen unexpectedly. Mm. And this is what we need to remember, because this is exactly what it says here. First, he comes soon and unexpectedly. This is it. This is what we need to know forever. Soon and unexpectedly. This is it. And then what is extremely important also, he says, pray always. Mm. Mm. Why do you think pray always plays such an important role?
Because prayer is our connection to God, and we need to be connected to Him. We also need to communicate with Him. But not only that, when we pray, we have to be available to listen for instruction. Mm. Throughout reading this entire chapter, I got a visual of Jesus as a coach, and we're His team players, and we're in the final quarter of life, and we have to really give it our all. But the blessing that's here is that we already know that the game's fixed and that we win.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I think one of the things that, particularly for a Christian, suffering can, in a way, be edifying to a Christian. Suffering further detaches you from this world and further makes you rely upon God. And I think that's why a prayer becomes so important. I'll take a comment from Kelly that emphasizes why prayer is so important when we find ourselves suffering. Kelly says, "The closer we come to Christ's return, the harder Satan will labor against us to weaken us in hopes that we will curse God in order to win our soul. Let us pray that our suffering will bring us closer to God for strength and in knowing He is near His return." I really like that comment, because even in suffering, it can be a tool through which to just lean on God more and detach ourselves from the bad things of this world more and lean more on God and receive that strength.
And I like a mix of the two of those, because it's like that, and maybe I'm wrong in kind of combining them, but it seems like that's kind of like in the moment you lean on God, but then also I got that it was kind of like a communication, open-door communication.
Yeah.
And I like that. You know, during the troubled times, during the challenges, you lean on God, but keep that communication open all the time so that you develop that relationship.
Yeah. What do you focus on? Because if you are praying to God always, then you'll be focusing on the right things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is what Jesus was doing constantly, and this is what He encourages us to do. What is your takeaway lesson in just like 10 seconds?
Well, I'll go first. All this stuff can be overwhelming, but when we know that the game is rigged and that Christ wins and that He's coming back for us, that hope is better than anything else.
Excellent.
And I like that, you know, you can look at the negative, but if you look at the positive, it points you to Christ, and that's where we really should be focusing.
Mm.
Sophia? In this life, my parents always say, you will have challenges. But if you have God with you, you'll never lose.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Really, you know, when you look at what Jesus said, you know, this will all pass away, but His words will never pass away. And so we always have that to turn to, these eternal words of Jesus.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I learned a lot today. In the midst of suffering and sorrow, Jesus presents a message of hope. He encourages us to be alert, pray always, and be connected with Him. Because this is how we will ultimately escape all these sufferings and stand before Jesus the Christ when He comes again. Until next week, stay connected with Jesus in your everyday life and also on Cross Connection. Thank you.